This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670.
Guess what? I felt really good about going into this game. I felt really good about Caleb Williams going into this game.
And I don't even have to talk about what I wrote down on my piece of paper as the death drive. The Bears' death drive in the fourth quarter when they're up 16 to 13. And there is a, of all people, old Joe Tooney. That whole part of the game, all of what I just mentioned, that was your death drive and the preamble that led up to it.
This brings me to Death Drive 2. I didn't get to this earlier.
Oh, okay.
Death Drive 2, which had a crucial penalty.
Number two,
yes.
In theaters now.
I don't carry a gun. I drive.
But Darren starring The Rock.
That second quarter, it's 7-6 Baltimore. You guys ready for this one? Devin Duvernay, 50-yard kick return. How you doing, everybody?
Yes,
there was a grounding, and there was a death drive number two.
Oh, no.
Old Manungai loses a couple yards. And, Layla, you were talking about the lack of sacks. Well, guess what? Mike Green got to Caleb Williams, and that's what killed. They were inside. They were at the 3-yard line.
Williams brought down by the ankles. Mike Green.
The 3-yard line.
Unlock me. Unlock me.
So here, you just gave me a perfect excuse to give Death Drive 3.
Number three.
Death Drive.
Number three.
Wisconsin Death Trap.
Death Drive 3.
Coming to a theater near you.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Do you have all your death drives figured out? Do you?
I want to live. I want to live, Layla. That was yesterday. I want to live, Clarence.
We're living. We're here to see another day. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And after that montage of death drives, where the Bears only made it into the end zone in the fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, we heard from the head coach yesterday, Ben Johnson, speaking to the media. His Monday Zoom availability seems to be, I think, one of the must listens of the week, given how he watches the tape and what he has to say. You heard a lot about what we did. A lot of people popped off on what they saw on the game yesterday, calls, meatball machine, all of that. And Ben Johnson, head coach, had a different opinion when it came to the assessment of Caleb Williams. You heard about death drives, intentional groundings, obviously the interception. There was only one sack. For the record, only one sack. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about his thoughts.
He was very efficient with the football there early in the game.
I thought he had a number of throws that were on time. We hit a couple in-breakers that was encouraging to see as well. You know, we were explosive in the passing game. I want to say overall we had 11 explosives. 9 of those were in the passing game. So I thought he did a good job delivering that football. There's a couple that is, as we talked about, that need to be automatic here at this point, halfway through the season, that we missed on. And so we're going to keep on working through that process. And I think we're going to be in good shape. I did think he took a step forward here this week.
So I want to ask Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, Robbie Diaz, Ray Triano. Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz. Marinate on this, everybody. Given what head coach had to say and given what you saw, let's quote Eddie Murphy. Who are you going to believe, the head coach or your eyes?
So this is interesting because I went back and watched some of the game yesterday after our conversation with Anthony Heron, where he was convincing us that it wasn't as bad as we were making it out to be. And I came to the conclusion that Ant was right about some stuff, but not all stuff. And I think it goes back to what your expectations are for Caleb Williams. I think he had a better game in this game than he did against the Saints. But of course, there weren't 3-4 turnovers to help give more opportunities to the Bears offense. And hearing Ben Johnson speak, it made me realize that what he's looking for and what he's measuring is different. And I do agree with the whole explosive plays thing. When you think about whether it's the miraculous one-handed catch of DJ Moore for 42 yards, which was their biggest play of the day, right? Where he kind of unveils a little bit of the quote-unquote special. Or the fact that he hit Roma Dunze on several passes that were for more than 15 yards. And he hit Loveland. And he hit... He scrambled for 22 yards. Like, the two non-passing plays he's talking about is a Kyle Manungai 15-yard run and then a 22-yard scramble for Caleb Williams. So I understand why Ben Johnson feels the way that he feels. It doesn't take the foul taste out of my mouth for what I saw from Caleb Williams, where I felt like he could have and should have been better. But I understand it's a process, so I'm willing to, like, lean into Ben Johnson saying what he says and say, all right, if you're telling me it was a step forward and there are more steps forward to come, all right, I'll ride with it and see what happens.
I feel like the head coach has to say this stuff. Like, let me finish. I heard from you. I just want to reply that I feel like a lot of times the head coach has to say some of this stuff. He's not going to throw his player under the bus. He's already had to go back and clarify a lot of things that he said throughout the season when it comes to practice habits, for example, of his team, which he highlighted again, by the way. He mentioned that again when it came to trying to figure out the penalty concerns. He also talked about whether or not, you know, talking to the leaders and instilling upon them a responsibility, that's been clarified further. That is a work in progress for him. He's going to say that, I think, to a certain extent. He can say that under certain requirements that he did the right things during certain plays. But if you go back to the simple edict that he issued of needing to score more in the red zone, that didn't happen. And if you look at the tape, based on what you saw in the game, unfortunately, you know that the quarterback on the other side, who has been relegated to career backup, had a much better game. Does that mean that Caleb Williams can't improve? No, but you can look for signs of growth, but overall, it wasn't his best game.
No, I don't think it. I'm saying it was his best game. I'm just saying it was better than the Saints game, and I'm saying that Ben Johnson didn't have to say what he said. He said what he said because I think he believes what he said. That's why I had the instant pushback, because I think Ben Johnson is saying, I see the positive things I need to see and know that we get this other stuff cleaned up. Because let's be honest, the offense didn't function, but it wasn't all on Caleb.
Yeah, he knows. Ben Johnson knows that this was not a great performance for Caleb. We know what his expectations are. We know what the completion percentage is. We know what he wants as far as a QBR in a game is concerned. So this was a case where, and we know that Ben Johnson will pick his moments to be painfully honest, to be uncomfortably honest. He has done that. I don't think he did that in this case. Power rankings from the New York Times, a great little blurb right here. And they had the Bears at 4-3 at number 16. After completing 25 of 38 passes Sunday for a 77.2 passer rating, Caleb Williams is 24th in the league in completion percentage, 61.9%,
We know Ben Johnson hates that. That's me talking. Continuing with the blurb here, 33rd in off-target throw rate, 16.6%, that according to True Media. By comparison, Jared Goff completed 72.4% of his passes in Ben Johnson's offense last year, and it's fair to wonder if the system can work without more accuracy from the quarterback. Look, Ben Johnson knows all of that stuff. That's why I read that, because that is dear to his heart, especially when we look at the passer rating and the completion percentage and then some of the other stats that were given there.
Yeah, and listen, you can choose your own adventure on this. You can pick whatever stats fit how you feel and what makes you feel comfortable, and the head coach can too.
Yep.
But to me, like, him saying that doesn't change how I feel about what I saw in the game yesterday or 2 days ago, because the scoreboard told me exactly what was going on. The drives reflected the scoreboard appropriately. Unfortunately, the defense going in, as we knew, yeah, it was more talented than their stats indicated, but the stats still indicated that that was a team that could have been put away early. All of those things can be true. Do you think that Caleb Williams is going to work on a lot this week, getting ready for a Bengals game that is also a very winnable game to the point where they're favored? Yes. Like, I think he probably wants a couple of those throws back, as every quarterback tends to throughout a week. But I'm not going to change my opinion just because the head coach said something. You know how you feel about watching the game. Better than the Saints is not the goal, of course. But both can be true. You can't improve on certain concepts and still not execute on others.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is really just the lack of consistency. I think he did some things better in the last game than he did the game prior. But I think a lot of that was masked by the fact that they won the game before against the Saints. And so whether it's us talking about it, and actually we were very critical of his performance, to be honest. And people were getting on us because, like, oh, you guys are being so negative. But
people can't handle facts now. Well, no, and that doesn't bother me.
I think it's not about facts necessarily. It's about perspective, about what's relative to the starting point of the season and where we're trying to get to, and understanding that everything's not going to be a straight up and down on a chart. It's not linear necessarily. Right. And I think going back to the Saints game, when you look at the explosives that Ben Johnson was talking about, half of those plays were run plays. And in this game, and this might be some of Ben Johnson's fault himself because of the play calling, when they were going up and down the field to start those first two drives, it was Caleb throwing the football.
I am to the point where I almost have to negate when it comes to significance in the game. I know you're trying to make something happen at the very end, but the fourth quarter 42-yarder to DJ Moore, for example, does it show up on your box score? Did you catch it? Yes. But at the same time, how much did it really count in the game? You know, at that point, like, how many times is it the fourth quarter drives in the fourth quarter effort where you're trying to drive down the field and the defense is giving you a little more because they're in prevent or they're in some sort of man coverage that would indicate they're just trying to prevent the scoring play and not the big play from happening. You know, that I take into account too, and I felt like there was a little bit of that going on Sunday.
This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score, talking Bears here. There is such a delicate dance that everybody seems to do when it comes to Caleb Williams, and people being careful how they pose their opinions about Caleb Williams. And what bugs me about what's happening right now is I think that this show is, and I imagine the other shows on The Score too, have been pretty good about talking about what's happening right now. This show is not making grand proclamations about Caleb Williams yet. I don't think there's anybody in this room who doesn't think he could still do it. So the last 2 weeks, Caleb Williams has played poorly. And I feel like people are afraid to come out and say it because of the ramifications and the criticisms and just the whole notion of how critical are you going to be of this guy. And I say, open up. Because he is the most important sports figure in Chicago right now in terms of, he deserves every little bit of, whether it is applause or criticism right now, because this guy has to be good.
Well, it's not even that he has to be good. NFL teams are looking for every possible weakness on the other side every single Sunday. This is nothing compared to that. This is nothing compared to what the coaches want to do to your opponent every single time. So you got a game plan for that. Think about how we talked about training camp and practice. Think about how that was hard on players. And we kept saying here, well, yeah, you want practice to be hard because you want the game to be not as hard when Sunday comes around. You want to make sure that all the stuff you did in the week leading up makes it a well-oiled machine on Sunday. Machine. Somebody had to do it. But you're going to have to address this stuff now because this is what happens. This is part of trying to fix and rebuild somebody.
Right.
Bad habits get learned your first year, especially when the style of play is so remarkably different when you're at USC, when you're at Oklahoma, compared to what you're doing in the NFL. It's hard to say to yourself, this is how I won a game previously. Now I'm going to have to do something different.
My overall thing on what Mark just said about how, you know, Caleb Williams, we have to kind of chart the journey, right? Talk about the ups and the downs, yeah. But also keep the big picture in mind. My whole thing is I've kept the big picture in mind the whole time. I'm waiting till the end of the season to make any kind of proclamation, as you would call it.
And real quick, I'll let you go on, but I have no problem with people. If they're making a grand proclamation, if you think Caleb sucks and it's not going to work, whether you are a caller or a journalist or a talk radio host.
Or just a football fan.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, I think we've done a pretty good job, Marshall, of just looking at these last two games and saying it's not good enough and there are some red flags within it.
Yeah, but it's about this. If you do see red flags, can Ben Johnson fix the red flags? Do you have faith that he can make the corrections and that Caleb will let him make the corrections to whatever it is he's seeing? And I think that's where I'm just kind of sitting and waiting and to see from game to game how it goes. And again, after further reevaluation of the last game, I thought it was better than the Saints game, but obviously good enough. Certainly not good enough to lead a team to a win. It's like, are you playing with Caleb Williams as a component, or is he the driver of a Bears win?
He clearly
didn't play well enough to be the driver of the win because the performance was lackluster. More turnovers than touchdowns.
And that
scares
people.
You don't want the banner at the end of the season to be better than the Saints.
Right.
Like, you don't want that to be the headline. You don't want that to be the you know, it's like I think of the Mets failure of a season a couple of years ago, and it was like 2023 Mets, our closer had a cool intro. Like, you don't want that to be what the result is at the end of the season. Coming up next to Raheemi Harris and Grody, we have a lot to do. Bray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer helping out in our producing crew. We also have on the other side on Twitch, we've got Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. You can text us. We've gotten a lot of those. You can call us, 312-644-6767. When we have breaking news, it's brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have more to come here on Raheemi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We'll examine what we heard from Caleb Williams back in August, because I think this is the time for a progress check. When we're trying to figure out what this offense is going to look like and how it has to get from point A to B, we'll examine what was said previously and where they're at right now. We'll hear from both Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. All of that coming up next on Raheemi Harris and Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Take it a lesson for yourself after a game like this.
Yeah. A lesson for myself is fine. We got to find a way to get an end zone. And we got to find a way to stop the bleeding when you start bleeding. And I think I can do a better job with that, helping out and leading these guys.
What was that just thrown in there? More, was that part of the song, or is that part of the? No way, it is.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Dr. Dre, I think, right?
Eminem. Yeah, basically Dr.
Dre.
Hey, the two are sometimes different. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It sounded like a keyboard at a press conference. Yeah. But it's not. That was Caleb Williams, as you just heard. And we continue to talk about not just what we heard from the head coach yesterday and Ben Johnson and his assessment of the game, what he thought about watching the tape, but also it got me to thinking, we still don't really know what this offense is supposed to look like. I can't use the Detroit Lions exclusively. I know Ben Johnson compared Sam Laporta to Colston Loveland or vice versa, however you want to make that transition or that swap work. We haven't seen that. That's fine. I'm not super concerned about it yet. We know that the Lions offense has Sonic and Knuckles and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. That's not necessarily the case with the Bears, so I can't use that as the comp here. We know the head coach wants to run the ball more. But other than that, I think there are still a lot of question marks as to how we see this realized. Like, what is that December offense going to look like? And I flash back to when Mark Grody and I asked Caleb Williams, right here on 670 The Score, what he thinks the offense is going to look like when it's fully realized. Here's what he had to say. I want to ask about how you envision your best self in this offense. Like, I think about your pro day and the vibe there at USC and how fun that was. What does this offense look like for you? Is there something that you want to do where you feel like you're going to be your best self? Like, give us a visualization of the end game and how this looks for you. A pass you throw or how we know you're feeling good.
I hope to not tell you, or I hope to not show that I'm feeling good. I don't want to be even killed and things like that. Good or bad or indifferent, you know, be even killed. But us just flowing, us just scoring as many points as possible on how many ever drives we have is where my happiness and where I'm flowing best is at.
So when you hear that, what do you think? Because I think we're still in a place where we don't know necessarily what it looks like. I know this is a guy who can throw a ball that travels 63 yards in the air. That was the measurement on the flea flicker, 62 and change. So if that's the case, Is it you taking shots downfield that we're not seeing? You know, is there a play that you want to run where you think, this is me at my best self? Would that help us understand who you want to be as a quarterback? And I don't know that I'm there with it yet.
So, like, that answer was in training camp, right? So maybe he didn't know, and he was just trying to do his best to answer the question based on what he was trying to figure out in Ben Johnson's offense. And you remember how much he was struggling in training camp to do a lot of things because of the fire hose situation, where Ben Johnson's like, hey, let's see how much of this water you could take versus, you know, what you can actually do. I think for him, all I want to see is him be on time. Be on time, don't take sacks, which he's doing that part pretty well, not taking sacks, right? Be on time and make good decisions, make good reads, and take what's given to you. If he does that, based on what I've seen out of this offense run by Ben Johnson, the play calling that he has done, you will put up points, lots and lots of points.
And Caleb knows that, too. I mean, like, we were all praising him last week after a bad game, but saying that essentially he knows that he's got to get his part down and imagine what this could look like. Having heard that, again, an interview of which I was a part with Layla, as Layla mentioned, it just, what I thought this time around, that's just Caleb Williams being supremely confident again and being like, in the back of his mind, you know what the answer he's giving is? Don't worry, I got this. Like, Caleb Williams has not stopped saying that in the back of his mind. Don't worry, I got this. And there are times during games where he has to probably relent a little bit. I mean, it's such a fine line with Caleb, because you want him to do the special. Ben Johnson talked earlier about how Caleb has cleaned up bad play calls of his because of his supreme talent. So you want him to do the special. At this point, it's just this conflict that it's probably crazy for us to think that you can get it out of your mind that quickly. Maybe three quarters of it is out of his brain in his first year and a half playing for the Bears, as in following the structure when he needs to and knowing when to be special, but it's not quite there yet.
So the 25% is him just saying, I'm him?
Kind of like don't worry.
I think you have to do some of that.
He's saying, don't worry, I got this. Like, that was the answer to Layla's question, and he's saying it constantly in the back of his head. I got this.
But we don't know that it's been gotten. Like, and here's the thing. You can, what does putting the Superman cape on? Let's even define it even further. Is it you fixing a busted play? Is it you throwing on the run? Yeah, you do that well, but you know you can also plan for that. You can have design rollouts. You can move the pocket. I don't think that's basic if it works. I don't care if it's advanced or simple math. I don't care if it's advanced or simple play calling. If that's what makes him look great, then I'm into it. But, you know, the other thing is, if you don't know what this offense is supposed to look like, then how do you know how to remix it?
Well, that's on Ben Johnson, the remix part of it. I think for Caleb,
Robbie, write that down.
And
remix.
This goes back to the understanding your own limitations. I understand he's supposed to be supremely confident. He's waited his whole life to be a player that was taken number one overall in the NFL draft, and to save whatever city he steps into. It just happens to be Chicago.
I'm here to save your city.
I feel like a lot of people are trying to save the city right now.
It's true, though.
You're right.
Like, that's how he's looking at this situation. And I think, one, he has to understand his actual limitations on a football field. And I think he's doing that painstakingly so while working with Ben Johnson struggles.
I don't think he...
Wait. You say it, but here's the thing. So back to the original question that was asked by you guys in that interview. I don't think when he was answering it, he was thinking about pre-snap penalties thwarting him. I don't think he was thinking about some of the things that have thwarted his efforts so far this season. Now, the cadence, that's on him, obviously.
It's a big part of it.
It is a big part of it. But, like, if you told him, oh, by the way, you're going to have all these penalties that just destroy drives as they get started or when you get down to the red zone, he's not anticipating that in answering your question.
I just don't think he's accepted limitations, and I don't know if he should. Like, maybe there's things he can't do yet, but I'm sure in his brain he could still do, and I don't have a problem with this, he can still do all of the same things that he always has done in his football life. He just has to figure out the right time.
But there's a reason I brought up his pro day, because he knew what skills he wanted to show off there. He knew what he wanted to do. You throw that deep ball because it's massive and awesome. And I'm asking that because I want you to throw it during a game. You know what I'm saying? And here's the funny part. I didn't think I would be saying this, but Jaquan Brisker, you know, when he tweets, get me involved or let me cook, or however he wanted to say it. Didn't we all have a concept of what he probably thought that meant? We all started to think, oh, does he want to blitz more? That was my first question. Does he want to rush the passer? And he's communicating what he wants to do. Is it a little easier to say that defensively? Yes. But when you're talking about building a playbook from scratch, it's why I asked Anthony Heron yesterday, what do you think the Bears know they can run? Because I think at this point in the season, you're almost to the halfway point. You at least want to have those foundations in order to figure out how this thing is going to look in December.
But I think what they know they can run is affected by double-digit penalties. That's my point. I think that has...
still them beating themselves.
Yeah,
and
it
if
is.
It is cadence-related...
Yeah.
By the way, if all these pre-snap penalties are cadence-related, then who is that on?
That's on Caleb Williams. We haven't gotten, you know, true clarification, but to Mark's point about the limitations and not knowing whether or not he should accept the limitations, admit the limitations, I'll tell you this. We always talk about putting the cape on, Superman, all that. You got to remember, Clark Kent was an award-winning journalist. You could just do your basic job, be on time, don't screw up anything before the snap, and be pretty good in Ben Johnson's designed offense.
Wasn't he only an award-winning journalist because he knew he had the inside scoop on Superman? Like, he had a source,
yes.
Right? That's a pretty big source.
That's not the only reason. He did a lot of investigations.
Well,
he was no Batman. He was no Bruce Wayne. But
he had X-ray
here's
vision,
the danger,
man.
About comparing real life to fictional characters. They're still fictional characters.
That's what makes them fun. And you know what? This is a work of fiction we're dealing with right now when we talk about the future for Caleb Williams, because we don't know what's going to happen.
It's true.
We don't know how much of this he's going to grasp and how much Ben Johnson is going to have to adjust to him, because I know the whole message is come to me, come to me, come to me, but you got to be able to give a little bit.
Of course.
I just wonder how much Ben Johnson's going to be willing to give.
Well, the other part, too, is what the expectation is for them for this season. Do they think they've got to walk in and make the playoffs? If so, then you're probably going to try to put a Band-Aid on it as opposed to suturing, right?
That's how
I feel about it, too, is do you really want to strip it down to the studs to the point where this is an investment year where you're okay with the losses of winnable games because – you know that you're trying to install an offense from the very beginning.
That's dangerous, right?
That's not necessarily. It's just how much of these are you willing to take when you know that the objective every week is to still win the ball game. You know, that's it. You know, it's just like what we talked about. Were there other plays you could have called, basic stuff, to get into the end zone? But do you know you need to install this type of red zone offense, for example, or these concepts or these formations? Do you want to do that first? Knowing that you might not get into the end zone, but you need them to practice certain formations in games. Like, I think about that stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's akin to a pitcher working on a pitch. If it's August, you know, they might have time to work on a third pitch or a second pitch or something that they want to bring into the mix for a playoff game. That's how I feel about this, except the Bears don't have that kind of runway.
Yeah, I would say you don't have the runway, and even if you're working on a third pitch in August, it better be in a bullpen. That's what practice is.
Talking
about Ben Brown now,
practice.
It turned into Ben Brown talk.
But you
here
see
on the
what
score?
I'm saying? There are times where you're trying to preseason isn't enough.
Yeah.
To build on what you want to work on. We know that.
And that's why Ben Johnson said next year this thing's going to be very different because it's going to be rolling. All the things will be there, and it's not going to be this whole building from the studs, if you will.
Ben Johnson said December.
Yeah, no. He said December as far as getting from point A to point B and December being point B. But he also reminded us that next year is going to be very different because everyone's going to be familiar. Like the majority of players, whoever, you know, they'll get new players or whatever.
The foundation will be set. Yeah.
And that's so important. That's what I keep in my mind when I'm talking about expectations as far as whether they're willing to sacrifice to make it playoffs. I think once you're in the game, you're trying to win the game, period.
I thought about that exactly, too.
Game.
When we hear about, you know,
Sports.
Truth-telling Ben Johnson, it's not just about this year and developing the quarterback. That's about next year and the year. Hey, you're going to come here, understand. What you hear on the mic from the lectern, from the podium, this is the stage that I am setting no matter what happens this year.
Well, that's it. And it's how much are you willing to lose the battle, win the war?
Yep.
And that war doesn't go on just this season. That's the hard part. That's where it gets really tricky.
War. What is it worth?
It's only good for metaphors, in my opinion.
That's right.
We have more coming up on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Let's hear from Ben Johnson, since he did talk yesterday. Can we go ahead and pick up where we leave off? Ben Johnson did talk about how he feels about the offense so far at this point in the season. In the meantime, Football Talk on The Score is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS on Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a Week 9 matchup between the Bears and the Bengals. See how that worked? Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. More from Ben Johnson next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I told this search committee that I wanted this job, and there's several reasons why I wanted this job. Is this roster that Ryan's already built? It is stocked. It's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback, and Caleb, I'm excited to work with you, but it's going to take more than just you.
In the famous words of Axel. He's just asking for a little patience. That was Ben Johnson in his introductory press conference. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And we are asking, how much patience do you have with the Bears offense, Caleb Williams and the like right now? We knew it was not going to be pretty the whole time. So what does that mean as far as how it's looked and how you want it to look at the end of the season? Ben Johnson talked about it when he watched film. He does the look at the tape, and then he goes over what he sees. He does that with the media on Monday. So here's what he had to say about his impression of the offense at this point in the year.
We're moving the ball. We're not scoring points as often as we'd like to. So I kind of felt it since the start of the season is when we get the first down, we're able to move the ball really as at will, if you will. And so we're just not resulting in the points. Our red zone percentage is down. We need to score more touchdowns when we get down there. And then if we had two more three and outs here this week that once again, if we get the first down, we're in good shape.
That would make it better. That would make it feel better. But I feel like there are so many defenses where that's exactly what they want you to do, the Bears included. I move the ball inside the 20s all you want. We'll give up some plays in order to prevent you from really getting the points that matter here.
For most teams, field goals at this point are a given because of where your starting field goal position is and the ability of most kickers to knock down 55-plus yard field goals. I said most, not all. But so three is not really a thing anymore. You got to get seven, more so now than at any point in NFL history, because field goals weren't always a given like they are today for most teams.
Most teams.
Yeah, most teams. But I think going back to the discussion we had last week about red zone in general, I mean, the Bears are getting to the red zone more than they were last year, which I know is not saying a whole lot because they only got to the red zone 2.2 times per game, which was 31st in the NFL at that point. But this year, they're getting to the red zone now, you know, 3.3 times a game. That is middle of the pack. It's 15th. It's right there in the middle, right? And they're only scoring on 47.8% of those drives. That's 26th in the NFL as far as red zone touchdown percentage. And the worst part about this is over the last 3 weeks, that number is down to 33%. They were 1 for 3 on Sunday, which is 33% of the time they're scoring in the red zone. That needs to be closer to 2 out of 3, if not more. And I'm just confounded because Ben Johnson said on the one quarterback sneak, right? He said, I should have dialed up another play there. That I didn't do a good enough job. That's on me. I was like, are you just like holding on to like plays that you think you can use down the road against better opponents? I don't think this is the time for that. You need to get your offense to have some confidence that when they get inside the 10, when they get inside the 5, they can score touchdowns.
The Manungai play on the first drive where he lost 2 yards, he also on that play said that he had the wrong play for what the defense had set up there. So Ben Johnson, for the people, because there's been a certain flow of people on the text line saying Ben Johnson had a bad game, and he's telling you a couple of his errors, and that doesn't even include if you had an issue with him going with the quarterback sneak at the end of the game on that touchdown that would have given them a chance for an onside kick.
I don't have an issue with a quarterback sneak because every NFL team should be able to run one.
You should, but the
Bears, you shouldn't back into it either, by the way.
Yeah, but they did prove earlier that they weren't good at it. Now, maybe
you spend that much money on guard center guard, your ass had better be able to run a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, but they're not good at it. They're just not.
First of all, don't sideways into it.
That's on the quarterback.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
And here's another thing that I hadn't brought up that I feel like is part of all of this. I know that Ben Johnson likes to go for it on fourth down more than most coaches, and he's stayed true to that. But don't you feel like if this offense, when there is a touchdown, metaphorically speaking, haven't you noticed how many times they don't go for two?
Yes, I have noticed that.
Doesn't that also kind of prove that this is an uphill battle in a way?
Yes, I think so. But also, it goes that fine line, right, of balancing where should they be now compared to the start of the season? And are they just fortunate that they've played lesser competition? And I think the answer is yes, they are fortunate they face lesser competition. I think 702 makes a good point on the text line. Why don't they ever throw to the end zone inside the 20? It does feel like when they get to the red zone, it becomes a run-first offense, and that's not always the way. You talk about the bootlegs and some other things that they could do creatively to
roll out.
Yes, they can definitely do that. It feels like Ben Johnson is going to have to go back now, based on the last three games, and figure out different ways that he can open up the offense once there's that back boundary and you're in the red zone, you got less field to play with.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense when a lot of what they do well is spread the field and stretch the defenders. You have more space to work with once you're inside of 20, but a lot of times also we're seeing where it's a battle for them to even get the next first down and goal to go. You know, for example, they get to, say, outside of the 10-yard line, and then so what they've worked to, like, what, from the 25, you'd say, to the, I don't know, 11? And then the goal for them is a short-yarded situation, where in theory, the money you've spent combined with the evaluation you've done would indicate, and the draft capital, that would all, the math would indicate that you'd be able to execute the play.
Sometimes, I don't want to say like bailout easier said than done, but both teams are trying to do something here. The offense is trying to offense. The defense, obviously, those players get paid too. I just have a lack of imagination, it feels like, when they get inside the red zone that I don't have when I watch Ben Johnson's offense before they get to the red zone.
Here's the good news about all of it too, Marshall, is that Ben Johnson will lose sleep over not being able to get six inside the red zone. That's the good news. And if he's as good as we think he is, this problem should eventually be solved.
Well, also, there's an issue with reading, again, over the middle of the field. How many times have we said so-and-so was open in the back of the end zone?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that. And it's like back middle. It's not perimeters. It's been back middle of the field end zone.
Last year and this year. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff coming across that leaves something to be desired. But that goes back to the consistency issue with Caleb Williams. You got to be consistent in making the reads and the plays and getting the ball out on time, especially when you're in the red zone.
Listen, I'm all for people backing the thing up, but just don't do it behind your line when you're trying to get extra yards.
You just want junk in the front. That's right. What you want.
I just want your rhymes to be on time. That's what I
Dennis
want.
Dennis Allen, yeah. Junking up the front was an effective as hell defensive plan.
A lot easier to do when you have, you know, a full complement of defensive players.
And I have a feeling that Jaquan Brisker really liked it, because when he said, "This is use me," that's, I think, what he was meaning. That man knows what he wants to do.
He's not your average groupie. Use him. I got you.
Let's have some more fun with football, shall we? And let's talk some more special teams. Speaking of that whole most field goals thing, let's bring in our expert, Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, and he's got a fun event coming up. So we want to talk about that as well. All of that and more with Patrick Manley, the Bear. We'll do it next on Rahimi Harris and Grody on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.